if there's any chag that you could compare, put in the same category as Tisha B'Av, what would you associate it most closest with? So I'm thinking probably not Pesach. You know? Sukkot, not so much. But Yom Kippur, there's an interesting overlap. In fact, I don't know if you ever noticed, there are certain things in the tefillah that are the same. You have any idea what I'm talking about? Do you know what in the tefillah? I'm sorry, from Shachar Menachem Meir. But there's something in tefillah that we say on Yom Kippur, and we also say on Tisha B'Av, that was added. Okay, you are out of time. The answer is the kina that has to do with the Asara Haruge Malchus. All the Rabbanim, Rabbi Akiva, and all the Rabbanim that unfortunately were murdered, so that we actually say on Yom Kippur and we say in Tisha B'Av. It's an interesting thing. And you've probably noticed, if you lasted that long on Shul, in Shul on Yom Kippur, that when we start to speak about the Kohen Gadol and all of the Avodah, it begins to turn into Tisha B'Av and Shul. Did you ever notice that? We sing, you know, Mari Kohen, Emes Ma'amedar, like that goes on a high note. But right after that, things really take a downturn and we talk about what it's been like since then. And there actually is a shtickle Tisha B'Av on Yom Kippur. Even though Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av are really in a big way opposite days. How would you think they're opposites? What do I mean they're opposites? Well, we're fasting. The things we do kind of overlap. So what do you, give me an answer. What do you mean? Why would I suggest that in a certain way they're opposites?
I mean, I think isn't Yom Kippur like more of like positive, even though it doesn't seem like that, but Yom Kippur is like more of a positive. Exactly. And Tisha B'Av is definitely like more of a mourning and like negative.
Bingo. And I'll tell you an interesting halacha that comes out of that. Let's say that you're looking forward to getting married and having kids, I can tell. And when you have your kinderlach at home on Yom Kippur, and you have your kinderlach at home on Tisha B'Av, so what's the difference what they do? They're not going to be fasting either way. And they may not, you know, fully appreciate what Tisha B'Av is. Many of us don't fully appreciate what Tisha B'Av is. So when they are eating on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, you should give them whatever they want, all kinds of treats, and you should make it feel like it's a Yom Tif. Because the fasting on Yom Kippur is part of a tshuva process, part of being like a malach, and on Tisha B'Av, it's something else. And we don't give the kids treats and sweets and whatever they want on Tisha B'Av. We want them to understand it's a sad day. So here's my question for you, and tell me if you ever thought about this. What are we supposed to be doing on Tisha B'Av? And I think that when you really think about it, it's a little surprising. That what I would have suggested we should be doing on Tisha B'Av, we don't. What is Tisha B'Av all about? What are we doing on Tisha B'Av? What would you think we should do on Tisha B'Av? One word. Tshuva. No? Tshuva. Ari, you think I'm on target or off target here? Do we do tshuva on Tisha B'Av? What do you say? My argument is we don't. How do I know? So you tell me, someone brave over here, you know? What words do we say on Yom Kippur that are tshuva? What do you say? Is there other words that are the essence of tshuva? So you're thinking, well, we say Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, Vechanun, Erech, Abaye, Rochesed, V'Emes, not on Tisha B'Av. Okay, what else? Something very celebratory? Bum, 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 Oshamnu, Bogadnu, I won the lottery. That's a different question for a different time. Why we say that with such a celebratory term. Al-Cheit Shechatanu Lefanecha. So these are the essence of tshuva on Yom Kippur. So what do you think? Is that missing from Tisha B'Av? Should that have been part of Tisha B'Av? It shouldn't be part of Tisha B'Av? Give me some feedback. What do you say? Ezra, if you're still there, feel free to chime in too. Do you think it's a good question? Or you don't think it's a good question?
Good question.
Yeah? I feel validated. Anyway, so I do think it's a very powerful question. What am I supposed to do on Tisha B'Av? If we're supposed to be doing tshuva, then why are we not doing tshuva? And I think that's really the question. I think the question really is, what happened to tshuva on Tisha B'Av? I don't think it's there. What is Tisha B'Av then? What are we supposed to be doing? So let's think about what we have been doing and how it's a lead into Tisha B'Av. What have we been doing? What we've been doing is observing a reverse mourning, a reverse avelus. What do I mean, a reverse avelus? Because hopefully none of you have ever gone through this, but there's avelus for a parent called Yud Beis Chodesh, the 12 months. Yud Beis Chodesh, so technically you don't get a haircut. People come to the person and they say, you look terrible. And then there's a heter to get a haircut. But there's no weddings, celebrations. It's a big issue. What happens if you have, Rachmana Litzlan, a parent, and they have a child supposed to get married, and it's that year that they're in avelus. So you probably noticed, you've been to weddings before where there's family sitting outside at a table or something like that. You ever seen this before? So there are different things that are done so that the avelim can attend the wedding. So that's where we're holding in the 3 weeks. We don't have all kinds of celebrations, listening to music. We don't cut our hair. And then the 9 days hit. And then there's more. There's wearing freshly laundered clothing. There's bathing for pleasure. All those kinds of things, which are really halachas of shloshim, the first 30 days. And then when Tisha B'Av hits, it's all the halachas of Shiva. So much so that if a person actually, Rachmana Litzlan, is sitting Shiva, they can go to shul without a problem because it's Shiva in the shul too. In fact, I don't know if you've ever noticed this. Probably you've all have gone to be Menachem Avel before. You've gone to a Shiva house. And when you left, you say, Hamakom Menachem Eschem. That a Kaddish Baruch Hu referred to as Hamakom, the source of the sense of place, should it console you. How does it end? Do you remember? Hamakom Menachem Eschem Besoch Avelei Tzion V'Yerushalayim. We don't say to the mourner, you should be consoled with all the other mourners. Well, we do, but which mourners? All the other mourners of Yerushalayim. It's a fascinating thing. When we go to a base avel, we say to the person that you should be consoled along with everybody else because all the Jews are still in mourning. It's a really interesting thing to think about. Why would we say that? But on Tisha B'Av, it's, wow, is that true? That's really true. Everybody's sitting on the floor like they're sitting Shiva. Which means to say that what Tisha B'Av is about is not tshuva. Tisha B'Av is about mourning. It's about mourning the Beis HaMikdash. And I just want to send you with one very powerful message to think about. And that is the famous Gemara that says that a Kaddish Baruch Hu seems to be, vengeful or something. The Gemara in Tainis, you guys all know this Gemara. The Gemara in Tainis says that when was it that Tisha B'Av happened? What had happened right before that? The Meraglim, right? So what did all of Bnei Yisrael do in response to what the Meraglim said? What did they do? What did all of Klal Yisrael do? They cried. And how did Chazal refer to that? Those tears? Bechia shel chinam. Free tears. Tears for no good reason. And do you remember what the Gemara says? Kaddish Baruch says, you cried for no reason. How do you finish that sentence? I'll give you something to cry about, right? So that's not how Kaddish Baruch really said it, right? That sounds like someone that just has something out to get someone else. I'll give you something to cry about. Not exactly. The Lashon HaGemara is, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Osa Laila Leil Tisha B'Av Haya. That night was the night of Tisha B'Av. Amar Lahem HaKaddish Baruch Hu. Atem bechisem bechia shel chinam. You cried a cry for no reason. Va'ani koiveya lachem. I will affix keva. I will affix for you permanently, seems like, sounds like. Bechia bedoros. A cry for generations. So my question on that Gemara is, what in the world is the pshat? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you cried for no reason, I'll give you something to cry about. Really? So before we go on, what do you think? Give me some ideas. What are you thinking when you see a Gemara like that? Obviously, it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to, he's taking revenge. That's absurd. So what is it supposed to mean? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu designate Tisha B'Av as a day of crying because Klal Yisrael sent the Meraglim, well, because they responded to the Meraglim by crying? What is the pshat in this Gemara? What does it mean? So you give me some thoughts before we go on. What are you thinking?
This isn't on the Gemara, based on what you said before. Isn't Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur kind of opposite? But then we compare like Yom Kippur to a wedding, which you can, it's like the opposite of mourning.
Yeah.
And also, like, Yom Kippur is kind of like when you want to try to bring about God's mercy and forgiveness. And Tisha B'Av doesn't seem to be like what happens when you don't bring about God's mercy and forgiveness.
Right. Yeah. So what do you say about this Gemara, though? What do you say about the Gemara? Why would a Kaddish Baruch Hu make it a day of tears? So I'll tell you what I think is the pshat. And if you understand this idea, so you'll understand what Tisha B'Av is all about. It won't necessarily be so much easier, but at least we'll have a real sense of what we're trying to do on Tisha B'Av. So listen to this. When the Meraglim came and they said their report, and Klal Yisrael cry, what does the cry say? What is it? Let's take the Hebrew word. What's the Hebrew word for crying? What is it?
Baha.
Beis chafei. Livkos. Bechia. I heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zechatzadik Levracha, that there's another place this word appears, and it has absolutely nothing to do with crying. In fact, you probably have heard of a book that has this name. The famous Rambam wrote a book that was a guide to people that are something. What am I talking about? What was the Rambam's famous book of philosophy?
The Mor Nevuchim.
Mor Nevuchim. Mor what? Nevuchim. Yeah? So what do we call it in English usually? Guide for the perplexed. Yeah? That word, Nevuchim, was said by none other than the famous Paro. Do you know where? Any Bali Kriya here? Or experts in Tanakh? Paro, when Bnei Yisrael left after Makas Bechoros, they were in the desert, and no one had ever escaped Mitzrayim, right? Because it's surrounded by desert, there's nowhere to go, no slaves had ever escaped Mitzrayim before in history. So when Paro gets his report that they're running away, he says, Nevuchim heim ba'aretz. Nevuchim heim ba'aretz. It doesn't mean perplexed because, well, Paro didn't know what perplexed meant. But it means that they were wondering. Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, sagar aleim hamidbar, basically means that they're wandering. Nevuchim means guide for the wandering, guide for the lost, the perplexed. So Navoch is a person that's lost, wandering. And Bechia can mean that very much. To cry, and specifically, the cry in response to the Meraglim was a cry of being lost. Think about the experience. Hopefully you haven't been crying recently, but think about the experience of crying. When a person cries, there are different types of cries. But there is a type of cry that's a cry of, I can't go back to Mitzrayim. I'm not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So what are we going to do? We cry. There's nowhere to go. We can't go forward. We can't go back. We're lost. There's nowhere to go. That's called Bechia. Nevuchim heim ba'aretz, for real. They were lost. What was the punishment to Bnei Yisrael because of what they did, because of those tears, aside from Tisha B'Av? What was their punishment then? Come on, what was their punishment? What did they do in the desert for 40 years? They wandered around in the desert for 40 years. They were stuck in the desert. Yom Lishana, one day corresponding to a year for every day that the Meraglim, the 40 days that they were in Eretz Yisrael, corresponds to a year they were stuck in the Midbar, right? Mida keneged Mida, Klal Yisrael created the situation for themselves. You shed tears of wandering, you put yourselves in a reality of wandering. You hear? Their cries created their reality. Your cries made you wandering. Now let's just take that a step further. What does it mean they were wandering? It means that they were supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael. And they cried because they couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. So they were lost. They were wandering in the desert. That means that what was should have been part of them, where they should have been going to Eretz Yisrael, they said, we can't. We can't do it. We're stuck here. And the Maharal says that ripped Eretz Yisrael out of them. They couldn't go. It wasn't part of them anymore. So, you know, sometimes when you have a child and you want to give him something that maybe he's not exactly old enough for yet, not mature enough for, you know. So you give it to him and you see that he doesn't relate to it correctly. And you take it away. Sometimes you have a child that doesn't appreciate what he has. And it is the job of a parent that children should appreciate what they have. What's the best way to make a person appreciate what he has? It's the best, it's the only way. The only way to make a person really appreciate what they have. What's the answer? It's to take it away. Because when you don't have it, you suddenly realize how much you depend on it and how much you need it. How many people went through COVID and then all of a sudden afterwards they realize what it means to be alive, what it means to breathe. And, you know, we all go through this in different ways. But the point being that how is the child going to get back what the parent took away because they didn't appreciate it? What's the only way the parent's going to give it back? When what happens? When they express very clearly that they're going to appreciate it, right? You with me? It's only if the child says, I promise I won't do that again. Okay. That means to say that the destruction of that day, what made that day Tisha B'Av into Tisha B'Av, was their tears. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say with vengeance, I'll give you something to cry about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the only way for you to fix this is to cry a different type of tears. You cried tears that ripped Eretz Yisrael out of you. You made yourself wander nevuchim heim. The only way to get it back is to cry tears that you wanted back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm going to pave the way for you to get it back. The only way to get it back is to cry for how much you want it. That's why I believe Tisha B'Av is not about tshuva. Tisha B'Av is about mourning. Tisha B'Av is about crying. It's an opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to show him how much we want it back. What's the it? Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, Hashras HaShechina, feeling what it means to be spiritual, to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feeling our neshama and not just our guf. All of the things that having the Beis HaMikdash and Eretz Yisrael mean and all of its consequences, that's what Tisha B'Av is about. So when we ask the question, what happened to tshuva on Tisha B'Av? So the answer is yes, there's for sure an element of tshuva that's there. But that's not the focal point of Tisha B'Av. Yes, we have to do tshuva, and you're going to hear all kinds of drashas about sinas chinam, and you'll probably hear drashas about learning Torah, alma of the haaretz. There are a lot of elements that have to be fixed. It's true. But in its essence, what created Tisha B'Av was tears. Tears of yeush, tears of hopelessness, tears of wandering. And the only thing that can fix it is tears of connection. tears of how much I miss it, tears of how much I want it back. So that is what I wanted to share with you. I think it's a powerful idea. I think it's MS. It definitely works. It definitely fits. And that's what I think is the focus. That's why we do kinas all day, you know? What were people supposed to do before the Chafetz Chaim Heritage Foundation showed up on the scene? What happened before there were videos to watch all day? What did they do? So the answer is they cried. Now it's hard to cry. It's very hard to cry. But that's what we have to do. We have to try to relate to the keynote. So we have to try to relate to the day. And if it means just sitting down by ourselves, by the way, in my shul, I don't know if we're going to do it this year because we're switching things a little bit for this year. But in the past, what I always did, as I said to everyone, sit down and write your own kina. Write your own. Sit down and write your own kina. We're going to take 15 minutes. Everybody sit down and write your own. You know, it's very hard. Davening in general, I think, you can tell me what you think, but I think our biggest challenge in davening in general is that it's not our words. It's someone else's words. And we have to take those words and make them ours. And that's the challenge of tefillah. And that's a much bigger challenge when it comes to kinos, because we're supposed to feel so emotional in such a narrow time that you have to really understand what the kinos are saying and read them and feel them, and you have to make it yours. And that's a big challenge. It's a big challenge. It's hard words, and you know, it's a big challenge. So write your own. Think your own. Spend some time. Spend some time at night, spend some time during the day to just be by yourself when you can shed a few tears and just think about a Kaddish Baruch Hu, how much better this life could really be. So Mirtz Hashem, this will be our last Ishabav, and we'll move Wayu to Eretz Yisrael, and we'll be learning soon enough in Eretz Yisrael. It's not so far away. Everybody's talking about all kinds of things, and everybody's talking about America and Democrats and who knows what. But Hashmuz for another time. America is becoming a challenging place to be a good Jew. So we have to end on a happy note. We have to end on a happy note. And the happy note is that there's a Gemara in Yuma, an unbelievable Gemara. You know this because you know the miracle of the Kruvim. What was the miracle of the Kruvim? That when Klal Yisrael was doing the Ratzon Hashem, what did they do? They faced each other, right? And when Klal Yisrael was not doing Ratzon Hashem, they turned away, correct? Gemara Yuma, Nundalit. The Gemara says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Goyim went into the Kodesh HaKadashim and they brought out the Kruvim. And what were the Kruvim doing? The Kruvim were embracing. Embracing. How could that be? The Gemara, Yuma Nundalit Amud Beis. How could it be that the Kruvim were embracing on the day of the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash? So the answer is because the Kaddish Baruch Hu loves us, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu should have destroyed us. And we know, Chazal say, Mizmar la'asaf, kina la'asaf, mivayilei, that it's not a song of Asaf. It should have been a lament of Asaf when he says, the Perek in Tehillim, that the Goyim came in and ransacked everything. And the Gemara and the Midrash tell us that a Kaddish Baruch Hu took out all of his anger, his retribution on the Beis HaMikdash, his own home, so that he didn't have to destroy Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael should have been destroyed. And instead, a Kaddish Baruch Hu destroyed his own home so that Klal Yisrael would carry on. That's the love a Kaddish Baruch Hu has for us. I'm looking for a good mashal for this. You know, you can imagine a parent, and the only way to save their child is by destroying some essential part of the relationship with their child. No, there were people in the Holocaust that wanted to save their children, and what did they do? They gave them up. They sent them, sometimes mamash to Goyim. They sent their children away, and they detached themselves from their children so their children should be able to survive. That's how much the parents loved their children. So the Goyim took out the Kruvim so Klal Yisrael could see this. Otherwise, they never would have seen this. We never would have known about it. But they took out the Kruvim so Klal Yisrael would see a Kaddish Baruch Hu loves you. A Kaddish Baruch Hu is saving you. A Kaddish Baruch Hu is giving you the opportunity to come back. So yeah, whoever mourns Yerushalayim is already seeing it being rebuilt, because that's how we rebuild it. And we always need to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this because he wants us to fix it and he wants us all back. And Amir Tashem, that's where we'll be soon enough.